I'd like to greet each of you in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Brother Dwayne has asked that we turn to Psalms 103. I'll be reading the entire chapter. Kind of tie in with Eric's thoughts here after Sunday school with our class and worship there Friday night. I was challenged as I did some of the homework there and reading the one book that we're supposed to read at the different aspects of worship. Many times we think of coming to Sunday morning and worshiping corporately, and that's our time of worship. But how is our personal worship? How is our personal devotions when we sit down in the quiet, in the closet, so to speak, by ourselves? How is our worship in that time? We meet on the first day of the week to celebrate the risen Lord. And it's a springboard for our worship throughout the rest of the week. We worship corporately. It's very important. But we also worship personally. It's a very challenging idea. And we all go through those ebbs and flows. Kenny had a very interesting lesson that night. And if any of you would find time to come next time, it's very worthwhile. Reading from Psalms 103, the entire chapter. Bless the Lord, O my soul. And all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all the iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He maketh known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger. He hath not dealt with us after our sin, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting, upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, do them. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye angels, yet ye his angels, and excel in strength, that do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye minister of his that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. With the reading of the word, that's for all who are able. Let's kneel for prayer.
Thank you for your prayers, and not only this morning, but throughout the week, and just so many times in the past, as you prayed for Carol and I in different situations. Last Sunday morning, we did fly out to Mayo Clinic. It was the second time that I listened to the preacher here in Minneapolis Airport. We got to do that. So, you know, that one call or that call-in service really does come in handy sometimes. But we had a lot of tests and meetings at Mayo Clinic. And they went well. But God is a master at the unplanned, isn't he? He's a master at the unplanned. I knew I had trouble with my access, my fistula in my arm for dialysis that had cropped up before we left. But there was really nothing I could do about it before the trip to Mayo. So when we got out there and they tried to do dialysis, they were going to do dialysis. I was supposed to have dialysis twice out there. And the first time when they were going to do it, they realized that it was a major clot and they could not do dialysis. So right away they scheduled me for a fistulogram at the hospital there at Mayo Clinic. And we had that done on Wednesday. Supposedly opened it up. They spent 2 hours working on it. And went to have dialysis, and it just wasn't going good. And the next morning, Thursday morning, I was supposed to have a full dialysis. And again, they tried, and it just wasn't working right. And things were kind of up in the air, what was wrong. And in essence, I should have had 8 hours of dialysis while out there, and I had about 2.5. So it was getting to the point where I really needed some treatment. And so when we flew back and got back early Friday morning, wee hours of the morning, I went for a dialysis Friday morning, and I don't know if it classified it a miracle or not, but I tell you, something happened. I got a full treatment Friday morning. I know people were praying, and so that was a real blessing. Went back yesterday morning, all kinds of problems. Was only on the machine for about an hour, and they had to take me off. So there's, we got a major problem with it. It's in the works of trying to work it out, but in the meantime, we got to try to get with dialysis I can. So that kind of gives you a nutshell on that. That happened while we were out there, at least the initial part. But the tests and so on for the evaluation for the transplant, I believe I passed. So that's a praise. And we're pretty certain that we'll be accepted for a transplant. There's a lot of hoops to go through yet, and as far as a donor and so on. So that's kind of where that's at this morning. And again, we thank you for praying. The title of the message this morning is God Still in the Healing Business? Johnny Erickson Tada paralyzed from the neck down in a swimming accident. Many of you are familiar with her story. She wrote in a best-selling book about her experiences. She wrote this. She said, afterwards, she received many calls and letters telling her that God had both the power and the desire to heal her. She became convinced of it, and in a little oak chapel near her home, several elders and ordained ministers anointed her head with olive oil and offered fervent, believing prayers for her healing. She fully expected God to heal her. A week went by, she later wrote, then another, and then another. My body still hadn't gotten the message that I was healed. Fingers and toes still didn't respond to the mental command. You can imagine the questions that began popping into my mind. Is there some sin in my life? Had we done things right? Did I have enough faith? This morning I would ask, why didn't God heal her? Why doesn't God always heal? Is he still in the business of healing people? You know, sometimes it's very clear that he is. And then there's other times when we may wonder if he is. Well, Jesus healed while he was here in a human body. He healed in many different ways. One, he healed by touching the eyes of a blind man in Mark 8 and touching a leper in Matthew 8. He healed by others touching him. The woman with the issue of blood after touching the border of his garment, Luke 8:47 says, she declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And Luke 6:19 says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Jesus healed by speaking. In Matthew 8, the centurion's servant, when Jesus saw the faith of the centurion, he said in verse 13, go thy way, and as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour, just by Jesus speaking. In Luke 7, the widow's son who was dead, Jesus spoke, and he rose up. Jesus healed in response to faith. It's important to note that Jesus healed the centurion's servant in response to the centurion's faith. For Jesus said to him, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. In Mark 5, Jairus' daughter had already passed away, but Jesus said to Jairus, be not afraid, only believe. Today, Jesus is not here in body, is he? But he's still here. His presence, he's here by way of his Holy Spirit within us. So couldn't he still be healing people today? His power is still amongst us. Are we lacking enough faith to be healed? But on the other hand, there seems to be some people who are very strong in their faith and still they don't get healed. Has the healer gone quiet? These are questions we may ask at times. You know, Psalm 103, verses 2 and 3 say, bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquity, who healeth all thy diseases. What does that mean? There's still people of faith who have diseases. So what does that really mean? Well, let's consider some thoughts on is God still in the healing business. First of all, God is the healer. One of the names for God in Scripture is Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord who heals. And it's in Exodus. I'm going to turn to that. In Exodus 15, you can turn if you want or just listen as I read. Starting at verse 22, so Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur, and they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, what shall we drink? And he cried on the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast it into waters, the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statue and an ordinance, and there he proved them. And said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and wilt do that which is right in his sight, and wilt give ear to his commandments, and keep all his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians. For I am the Lord that healeth thee. Jehovah Rapha. The word healeth there is Rapha. Now in these verses, God's promise is to not put the diseases on the Israelites that he put on the Egyptians. And if the people would follow him and keep his commandments. So keep all that in mind, what the promise included. However, God is still pictured as the healer. He's still called the healer. Likewise in Psalm 103 verse 3, who healeth all thy diseases. Healeth again is Rapha, the Lord who heals. He's pictured as the healer. Psalm 30 verse 2, O Lord, or Jehovah my God, I cried unto thee and thou hast healed me. Rapha, again, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Psalm 147 2, the Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathers together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in hearted, and bindeth up their wounds. Again, Jehovah Rapha, the Lord who heals. Jeremiah 17, 14, heal me, O Lord. Heal, Rapha, heal me, O Lord, Jehovah, and I shall be healed. Save me, and I shall be saved, for thou art my praise. The Lord here is pictured. The Lord is pictured as the healer, not just as a physical healer, but as a spiritual healer. So God, Jehovah Rapha, the one who heals, he's the ultimate unique healer. The ultimate unique healer. A couple weeks ago, you're aware of it, I was in the hospital with COVID. And in talking with a couple of the nurses were there, and they were doing something. One of them somehow knew that we were, I guess I mentioned it, that we were married 40 years. And one nurse wanted to know what was our secret for 40 years. And so I said, well, we've tried to put the Lord first, each other second, and then commitment is important. And the nurse responded by saying, she's one of the lucky ones like us. And she's been married to her junior high sweetheart for 25 years. And when she said she was one of the lucky ones like us, I didn't know what she meant. I didn't know if she meant years married or if she meant she was a believer. So I asked her, I said, are you a believer in the Lord Jesus? She said she is, and that she didn't think that her and her husband would have made it this long without knowing the Lord. I said, I believe the Lord helps us to be committed. And she agreed. I went on to say this, and here's what I'm going to get to. I went on to say that I'm thankful for the medicine. And I am. I was thankful for the medicine that they could give me then, and I'm thankful for the medical help, the nurses and the doctors. I'm thankful for all that. But I said, God is the ultimate healer. You know what she said? She said, he's the one that makes it possible for us to do what we do. Hallelujah. That was a God moment. To meet up with someone who realized that, a nurse, that they can do a lot of good things and the medicine can, but God is the ultimate healer. No doubt he can heal. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. What does that say to you? That says to me that he knows everything about me. He knows all my needs. If I need healing, he knows it and he can supply it. If it's his will for my life, and I might say he will supply it if it's his will. God is the ultimate healer. Another place where God is pictured as the healer is in Psalm 41, verses 1 to 3. And it talks there about considering the poor, the person who considers the poor, and how God looks upon that with favor. And in verse 3, let me turn there quick. Psalm 41, verse 3 says, the Lord will strengthen him upon the bed of languishing, that will make all his bed in his sickness. And what that's saying is the Lord will strengthen him on his bed of illness and restore him on his sickbed. Again, God is pictured as the healer. Well, not only is God the healer, but secondly, let's consider, what ways does God heal? What ways does God heal? Well, most importantly, the first way God heals our sin-sick soul. He heals our sin-sick soul. God is the one, the healer, to meet our spiritual need. No one else can meet it. There's no other healer of the sin-sick soul. There's no other God, little g, who can help us. A religion of works, and Brother Dwayne brought that out real well this morning in the Sunday school lesson, it can't work for us. It's not going to save us. It's the God alone, Jesus Christ, who can heal our sin-sick soul. Throughout Psalm 103, we see this marvelous truth. Verse 2. Well, forget not all his benefits. But verse 3, who forgiveth all thine iniquities. Verse 4, who redeemeth thy life from destruction. Verse 10, he hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. Now, let's not overlook verse 9. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever, meaning that there is a time when God's we're accountable before God, or a person is. But verse 12 also says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he redeemed or removed our transgressions from us. God, or ultimately God, heals by curing a person of their sin. That's the ultimate way that God heals. There's no better way. If you haven't been healed by the great healer, if your sin-sick soul has not been healed, you're missing the greatest healing. Well, secondly, God heals the weary. Isaiah 40, verse 28 and verse 29 says, hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary. There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, he increases strength. God, the one who doesn't grow weary, is the great healer of the weary. You ever get weary? Where you're just tired? Things are not going the way you wanted them to go? Or maybe there's things come cropping up and you're concerned about them and just getting weary? Maybe it's those long nights, can't sleep. God is the healer of the weary. Matthew 11, 28, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Whether it's a sin burden, a physical burden, an emotional burden, Christ wants us to come. God wants us to come because he's a healer of the weary. We sang about it this morning. Psalm 73, verse 26, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God. Might be two of the greatest words in Scripture. But God. It means something's happening. You know, this might be happening, but God has an answer. It says, my flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength or the rock of my heart and my portion forever. When our bodies fail us and our strength is gone, perhaps the desire is to give up. Even then, God is still there to heal a struggling heart because he is our spiritual rock. He's the healer of the weary. Thirdly, God heals through comforting. Psalm 23. That's a familiar chapter to us. Psalm 23, verse 4, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. God heals through comforting. He heals through comfort through his word. Psalm 119, 50, this is my comfort in my affliction, or my misery, my trouble. Or he can even mean depression. Yes, sometimes believers get depressed. It happens. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, or restored me, or recovered, or revived me. God brings healing through comfort and through the comfort of his word. Fourthly, God heals by giving peace. John 14, 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Sometimes the healing is not physical, but sometimes it's a wonderful peace that only the Lord can give. Only he can give it. Because he's the healer. And he heals with peace. Fifthly, God heals the brokenhearted. I referenced this verse a little bit ago. But Psalm 147, 3 says, he, meaning the Lord, healeth the broken in heart. And that can mean, has to do with our feelings, our will, our intellect. He heals the broken in heart and bindeth up their wounds or their sorrows or their pains. He's the healer of the brokenhearted. Psalm 34:18, the Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, or a heart that's crushed or bursts. And save us such as be of a contrite spirit. God heals the brokenhearted. You know, God still heals relationships. If there's a desire for healing, God can take the worst relationship and restore it. Because he's the healer. The healer of the brokenhearted. Even those that may seem hopeless. Sixthly, God heals through giving of mercy and loving kindness. You say, well, that's a strange thing. How is that healing? Well, if you're like me, you need a lot of mercy. I need a lot of mercy. I need loving kindness from God. And one of the ways I believe he heals is by giving us that mercy and showering upon us his loving kindness. Again, Psalm 103 is just loaded with this thought. Verse 4 says, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Verse 8, the Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. Verse 11, for as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. Verse 13 to 14, like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame. He remembereth that we are dust. And then 17, even 17 and 18, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting and everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness on the children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments to do them. The Lord heals through sending mercy and loving kindness. It's God sending us his healing and mercy and loving kindness and understanding our frame that helps us to get through the difficulties in life. My cry is this. Lord, just cover me in your mercy and your loving kindness, and you know what? I'll be okay. Cover me in your mercy and your loving kindness, and I'll be okay. God is a healer who gives mercy and loving kindness. Number 7. God heals physically. I thought, was he ever going to get to that one? Yes, God does heal physically. As we mentioned, he's the ultimate healer of our bodies. He knows all the things about our bodies. The body's an amazing thing. Our first morning, the first thing they did at Mayo Clinic, we were supposed to be at the lab at 6 in the morning. You know what they did? They took 24 tubes of blood. And they found out a lot of things about the body through that blood. But God has set it up that way. He knows our bodies. He enables them to do that. And he's the healer of the body. He meets the physical needs. We talked about how Jesus was a healer when he was here on earth. Matthew 9:35 says he went around healing every sickness and every disease amongst the people. There's not a disease or sickness that God can't handle. One doesn't crop up. Uh-oh. Boy, I didn't know about that one. Doesn't happen with God. He knows all about the diseases and he can handle them. He can heal all of them or any of them if he chooses. Well, healing comes to us from God the healer in different ways. There's another way that God heals. It may not be what we have in mind for healing, but nevertheless, it's true. God heals through death. Revelation 21:4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. That means the diseases are gone. They're completely healed. But it took death to do it. Sometimes that's what God has in mind for us. That's his healing. Oh, along the way, he'll give the healing of mercy and loving kindness and of peace and healing the weary. But he says no to the physical and says, just wait. Your ultimate healing's coming through death. In what ways does God heal? He heals our sin-sick soul. He heals the weary. He heals with comforting. He heals by giving peace. He heals the brokenhearted. He heals by giving mercy and loving kindness. He heals physically, and he heals through death. God is the healer. He heals in different ways. So we've looked at God as being the healer and the ways he heals. And thirdly, the point is this, yes, God does still heal today. But his timing is perfect. Psalm 103, verse 3, where it says that he healeth our diseases, who healeth all our diseases, is not a guarantee that God heals all of our diseases, but it is a guarantee that he's the healer. It's not a guarantee that he heals all of our diseases, or at least the way we think he should, put it that way. But it is a guarantee that he's the healer. Sometimes God doesn't heal when we think he should, or he doesn't heal in the way that we think he should. However, he does heal in his perfect time, even if it's by way of death. Warren Wiersbe said this, I like this thought. He said, ultimate healing and the glorification of the body are certainly among the blessings of Calvary for the believing Christian. Immediate healing is not guaranteed. God can heal any disease, but he is not obligated to do so. I believe that's accurate. Remember how Johnny was feeling after not receiving healing, and she was asking questions, did I do everything right or what's wrong? Is there sin in my life? Here's the conclusion to that story. Johnny spent the next 6 years searching in the Bible for answers about divine healing, finally coming to this conclusion. God certainly can and sometimes does heal people in a miraculous way today, but the Bible does not teach that he will always heal those who come to him in faith. He sovereignly reserves the right to heal or not to heal as he sees fit. Johnny continued by saying, from time to time, God in his mercy may grant us healing from disease as a gracious glimpse, a sneak preview of what is to come. But we are not to automatically expect it. I believe that is accurate as well. We have to understand that God has the right, the ultimate healer, the great and only God, the creator of the universe, the creator of you, the creator of me, he has the right to heal when he thinks best and in his time. Nevertheless, he is the healer. He's the one to cry out to for any and all healing. He's the one to praise for any and all healing. You know, we believe that he did what the doctor called it, a miracle for Sister Sharon of healing. So we praise God for that. We praise him because he's the healer and he chose to do it for her. In Jeremiah 17:14, again, I had read this earlier, but it's a cry out to the Lord. It says, heal me, O Lord. And I shall be healed, save me, and I shall be saved, not only physical, but the spiritual aspect, for thou art my praise. In other words, you will get the praise for any healing that you decide to do and when you decide to do it. Rest assured that the healer hasn't lost his touch. And I like that thought. It was put into the words of a song. I'm going to quote some of them here. It says, I hear the doubters say you don't see many miracles these days. And I see so many broken ones just waiting for their answers to come. To those who've grown weary, I've got good news. So hold on, be strong. Keep trusting it's true. The healer hasn't lost his touch. He's still the Almighty, the unchanging God. The power is still showing up. I don't know when, I don't know how, but I know this much, that the healer hasn't lost his touch. Hallelujah, he hasn't. I want to share this because it's a good thought that we need to consider. Someone wrote this. It says, your adversary would love for you to assume the worst about your situation. He would enjoy seeing you heave a sigh and resign yourself to feelings of depression. However, it's been my experience that when God is involved, anything can happen. The one who directed that stone in between Goliath's eyes and split the Red Sea down the middle and leveled that wall around Jericho and brought his son back from beyond takes delight in mixing up the odds as he alters the inevitable and bypasses the impossible. That's our God. So when God is involved, anything can happen. Something we need to see yet in the way that God works healing is through confession of sin and the prayers of others. In James 5:16, confess your faults one to another and pray one for another that ye may be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Now that scripture is in the context of the anointing service. But even outside of that, there is a connection of healing with the confession of sins. And there's tremendous value in praying for each other's healing. We do that. And I just want to share something with you that the students here learned something about that praying. When I was in the hospital with COVID, I went in on Thursday, and Friday morning we have a period that's available for chapel here at school, and I didn't know this till after the fact, obviously, but what happened that morning was the students learned about praying for someone. Brother Cole had all the students, they went around and they each prayed a prayer for me. A short prayer. Wow. No wonder I felt so good Friday morning. I felt like 180 degrees difference from Thursday when I went in. But they learned a lesson about praying for someone and the value of it. Now, the anointing service is not some magic action that results in physical healing. But it's coming to the healer and desiring that he heals in some way, the best way that he sees fit. And that way is not always physical. Sometimes it is, but not always. God's timing for any healing is always perfect. His timing's always perfect. Sometimes we don't understand things. Why did I get sick and have to go into the hospital and altered our plans? But you know what? If it had happened a week before, it was during the time of Carol's mother's funeral, that would have been a bad timing. If it would have happened a week later, it was when we were preparing to leave for Mayo. So God's timing is perfect, and he had people he wanted us to meet. I've only told you about one. There's another one maybe some other time I'll tell you, at least one. God knows what he's doing with us, whether he chooses to heal in this life or through death, whether he brings the healing we think he should or a different way. And I love the way the hymn, it's not in our books, I wish we had it as one, but we don't. Says he's still on the throne. A sinner now saved, blood washed by the Lamb. That's me. That's most of you, maybe all of you, I don't know. A lot of you. A sinner now saved, blood washed by the Lamb. My brother's a king, the son of I am. Sometimes I forget to whom I belong. Then the sweet spirit cries, my child, I'm still on the throne. He's still on the throne. So what could be wrong? It is well with my soul. Let the stormy winds blow. I'm reminded to get today. Thank God I'm saved. Salvation's sweet song. While ages roll on, he's still on the throne. You know, old Satan has power. And sometimes I'm weak. There's times I give up and he walks over me. And then someone comes by with words loud and strong and says, arise, my child, it is I. I'm still on the throne. Hallelujah, he is. He's still on the throne. So what could be wrong? If I accept that he's on the throne, what could be wrong in my life because he's in control of it? He's still on the throne, so what could be wrong? It is well with my soul. Let the stormy winds blow. I'm reminded today, thank God I'm saved. Salvation's sweet song. While ages roll on, he's still on the throne. Psalm 103:19 brings that out. The Lord has established his throne in the heavens and his kingdom rules over all. Listen, God is the healer. He heals in many different ways. He still heals today, but we must remember that his timing is perfect.
I thought about in the New Testament where God worked through the hand of Paul and there were many miraculous healings, but yet he says, Timothy, have I left at Miletus sick? Showing that God works in two ways with our physical limitations, our physical diseases. Sometimes he gives us remarkable grace and peace, and sometimes he gives us remarkable healing. And I've experienced both in my life. Remember being in the hospital with a perceived heart issue and a doctor explaining to me that on the wall of one of the ventricles was a growth that was attached to a leash, and this would occasionally go out and block the valve of my heart, and that it was serious, and there was very few people in the nation that would be qualified to work on that, and at any point in time could be my end, depending how that would interrupt that valve. And I had just sort of a sense that the Lord might heal me. I can't say that I felt it was for sure, but I asked him the question, so what is the margin of error in your diagnosis? And he looks at me and he goes, I am a doctor. I know what I'm looking at. There is no margin of error. And I said, well, if this is this serious of a condition, that there's very little that could be done if my valve got blocked. You probably couldn't operate fast enough. Is that a fact? He goes, yeah, that's probably true. So I said, so then what difference does it make if I'm here or if I'm at home? Can I go home? He looks at me, he goes, no, of course you cannot go home. We need you here because depending what would happen, we need to be able to respond immediately. So fast forward a little, there's an anointing service. And there was a period of time where I felt far worse than I felt before. And then there was a time where I noticed an immediate turnaround, and I got up out of bed and I said, I'm ready to walk in the corridor. And my wife's just sort of looking at me. And anyway, as that day progressed, I got better, and the thought came to me, I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. And the residency doc that was checking on me, he came in this the one morning and he goes, I'm here to check on the man that has a serious problem but has no symptoms of a serious problem. I thought that was interesting. So then that was over the weekend, and Monday morning I went for the final test, which they said was not to determine whether I had this issue, but was to get more information to know best how to treat it. And so I remember sitting in the room with another doc as he was preparing to run the stethoscope down, and I said, so what's going to happen if you don't find anything? He goes, well, I looked at your report, the chances of that happening are going to be very slim. I said, well, how would you handle it if you couldn't find anything, though? Well, I don't know. I'd have to talk to the cardiologist. So anyway, when I came to, he's there, and I said, so what did you find? He goes, oh, you're not going to believe this. I said, well, I wouldn't think I'd believe it. Because we couldn't find anything. I said, well, I can explain that. So I told him, there's a lot of people praying and there's divine intervention. So later that day, they go to release me. And the doc that was very sure of my diagnosis, he did not even come to see me. And I told the nurse, I said, tell the doc that I will not leave the hospital till he comes and talks to me. He goes, oh, she goes, oh, I don't know. No one talks to him that way. I said, well, I am, and I'm not going to leave until he comes and talks to me. So he comes to the room, and he's like halfway in the door, and I could tell like he was going to say what he's going to say, and he's going to quick leave. And he's like, well, I guess you got the good news, and you're going to leave. And I said, whoa, wait a minute. Let's go back to your first diagnosis, to what you saw, and no margin of error. I said, look, you said it. I know you said it. You know you said it. But I want to tell you, I'm not saying that you're a bad doc. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, I think you were right. He looked at me and he goes, what do you mean? Yes, I said, yeah, you're a good doctor. You were right both times. You were right when you saw something, and then you were right when you didn't see anything. Because something happened in between. So it's called divine intervention, a great physician. Oh, that way. And he left. And the nurse there, black lady, she goes, oh, you don't need to tell me what's going on. I know what's going on here. Praise the Lord. You know, in the follow-up, they was still working on that doc. He was very uncomfortable. He wanted to see me again. He says, I've been thinking about this, and I think I got it figured out. I said, you don't need to tell me what you think you got figured out. I said, we already know what happened. And I told him again about the great physician. And he goes, well, okay then. I guess we'll just let it like that. And yet, today, I can say almost ever since then, God has always left me with, it seems like, a certain amount of physical difficulty at one time or another in my life. He healed when he needed to heal, when he felt that was his right for his plan for my life, and he keeps me with regular reminders of my human frailty and his grace. We need to see both sides of that. Let's stand for prayer.